Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
I'm Karen Scazzina, a pediatrician and the TIPQC Infant Medical Director. I'm also serving as the physician champion for the Best for All project at Nyswanger Children's Hospital. We are excited to have Jane Anna Cummings from Hardin Medical Center in Savannah, Tennessee, and Dr. Diana Pure from the Baby Steps program at ETSU Health Pediatrics in Johnson City, Tennessee, joining us today. Jane Anna Cummings serves as the director of the Women's Center at Hardin Medical Center. She has almost 30 years of experience in obstetrics. Dr. Diana Pure is medical director for the Baby Steps Clinic at ETSU Health Pediatrics. Baby Steps is a multidisciplinary clinic serving children and their families affected by substance use. Dr. Pure works alongside an amazing team of professionals with a common goal to improve outcomes for children exposed to drugs prenatally and for the families who love them. Both Jane Anne and Dr. Pure are involved in TIPQC's Best for All project. The Best for All project launched in June 2024 and focuses on ensuring respectful, patient-centered care.
Thank you, Dr. Scazzina, for having us. We are excited to join you today.
First, tell us about yourself and how you got involved in this work. Jane Anna, do you want to start out?
Sure. I have worked at Hardin Medical Center, which is a standalone rural facility in West Tennessee, and we are county-owned. I started in labor and delivery, newborn nursery. You kind of have to work all three areas, and my nurses still work all three areas. So I came back to being the director about 20 years ago, and we were looking for ways so we could stay current and stay in projects to help our patients. But being standalone, it was a little bit difficult. You know, what do you do? So I started looking for things and found TIPQC, and we started the projects there, and we started, the first one was increasing our breastfeeding rates. And then we've continued just throughout the years.
Well, and we are glad you found TIPQC, and I was glad to work with you on the TIPQC breastfeeding projects. Dr. Pure, tell us about yourself and how you got involved in this work.
I'm a general pediatrician at ETSU Health Pediatrics and at Nyswanger Children's Hospital, and have been here for 15 years. In the last 5 to 6 years, we started the Baby Steps program, which is a wraparound social work guided care coordination program for mothers and children who have been affected by substance use disorder. And as part of the Baby Steps program and that Baby Steps clinic, we are participating in the Best for All project in order to improve the patient experiences and patient processes through our hospital, through the delivery process, the newborn nursery, and then at discharge over to the clinic setting.
Wonderful. Could you each tell us a little more about the Best for All project and what your hospitals are specifically working on through this project?
We started out with team births through TIPQC, and we're able to get our team birth accreditation. And so the Best for All project kind of just followed along with that, trying to get patients involved with their care back and forth. So we created a panel and have used that panel to continue with respectful care and continue the work that we started with the team births.
That sounds awesome, Jane Anna. So for our project at Nyswanger Children's Hospital, our purpose is to improve patient experience as well as infant outcomes for all of our patients. Our team has worked with the TIPQC to develop an infant version of the PRIM survey, which we share with all families being discharged home with their newborns from our level one newborn nursery. We are currently working on improving our survey response rates so that we can use this feedback to inform care. We do screen for household resource needs on admission, and our case managers and our Strong Starts team connects patients to community resources based on this screening. We've also been updating our newborn discharge education, and we are now using the Baby 360 curriculum in all of our newborn nurseries since July.
So one of the many resources that TIPQC is providing to participating Best for All project teams are stipends for hosting a respectful care panel. These panels provide hospitals the opportunity to invite 3 to 5 patient and family partners to join a discussion with hospital teams about the meaning of respectful care and how to ensure every patient feels heard and valued during their stay. We were thrilled to see that both of your teams utilized this resource and hosted a respectful care panel. Could you each share a little bit about why you're interested in hosting this panel and what it meant to your hospital team?
Well, at Heard Hard Medical Center, our hospital team, it gave my doctors a chance to hear their patients in a little bit different setting, not in so much of right in the moment setting of what's going on. It brought it, they were able to just talk more freely, I think, than when you're actually giving patient care. Maybe less stressful, less time oriented. Also in this breakfast, we included some outside resources. We included the health department, the people and some other facilities around our area that care for infants and newborns, and kind of all got to the table and saw where we were at in our county and let those patients express their feelings, because it's an hour and a half from our facility to any other place to deliver. So let the patient, you know, let the doctors know why they've chose to be here, what they can improve on, what the hospital can improve on, and also what we do well to get more patients here. So it was just kind of a sharing experience, but I loved having those outside guests there because they provided a little bit different feedback. So that was also really nice.
Similar to that, at Nyswanger and at Baby Steps, we really value our feedback from patients and families. We understand just how important that is and frequently will request feedback in various ways. This panel was an opportunity to engage with families and to hear firsthand about their hospital experience. There's truly no better way to make patient-centered changes than to talk directly with patients about their experience and their suggestions for that change. Also, the stipend piece of this was an important incentive for our families to participate, and it also shows them that we value their time, opinion, and experience. And so that stipend piece was very important for many of our families that are economically disadvantaged.
How did you identify your patient panelists? I wondered if you have recommendations for other teams as they work to recruit patient and family partners.
My team and I sat down and we went through our patient list. We first of all tried to find people that we thought would participate because it is some time consuming. And then we tried to find patients that everything went according to their plan, and then patients that things did not necessarily go according to their plan. And then we tried to find a vaginal delivery and a C-section delivery to participate.
So here at Nyswanger, we worked with both our Strong Starts team at the hospital, as well as our social work care coordinators and our Baby Steps program to recruit potential panelists. The Strong Starts program has community health navigators who link families to community resources they need to help families thrive. And then our Baby Steps, as we mentioned, is a care coordination program that provides a safety net for our families affected by substance use. So between both of these programs, our social workers helped to identify moms who had delivered in the last 2 years who were engaged with these programs and known to our social workers. We recruited 3 patient moms to participate in our panel. Even though we had 3 who agreed to participate in our panel and who completed the Mama's Voices training for the panel, we only had 1 patient family partner who attended on the day of the panel and participated in the panel discussion. My main recommendation for other hospitals who are planning these events would be to recruit at least twice as many participants as you hope to have engage. Because we are looking at moms with young infants and potentially other children, it is not uncommon for someone in the family to be sick or for a conflict to arise. So I would recommend that you recruit and try to find twice as many panelists as you hope to have attend on the day of your event. For our moms in the Baby Steps program, all of them have a history of substance use disorder. And so anxiety around talking in a larger group was another potential barrier for them and one of the main reasons that we had some reluctance from some of the moms that we reached out to. So just keep that part in mind, that talking in front of a group of professionals is intimidating and may be a cause for reluctance amongst some of the families that you may be trying to have participate with you.
That's really helpful advice, and I appreciate you all both sharing those considerations. What are some of the questions and topics that you discuss during your respectful care panel? And are there any strategies that you use that help to promote open and honest dialogue?
The first we went through and used from the TIPS QC toolkit, what does respectful care look like? And we tried to paint a picture of what the perfect world would be. And so then we use the questions that are in the toolkit. What does respectful care mean to you personally and professionally? And we went through our doctors. I had a doctor representative, an OBGYN, and then a PEDS representative. And then we let the patient also share hers. We also asked them, can you share experiences where you felt from the patient, where you felt that you weren't respected by your healthcare person? We also asked them what behaviors that the healthcare staff made said to the patients to make them feel most listened to and most valued. Sometimes I think as healthcare workers, we listen, but we don't necessarily absorb what is being said to us. And I could tell a couple of our doctors were like, oh, and then how it affects the outcomes and how that they trust your healthcare workers, your doctors, and your nurses. So, and we were lucky that we had really honest and open conversations. And there was a lot of back and forth, positive back and forth between doctors and staff and the patient, which I thought was really good.
Similar to Jane Anna, our group started with defining respectful care and going through that as providing background information to our group at our panel. And then we asked the questions in the toolkit also. We asked our partner to share her experience with her hospital stay when she had her baby. She shared specifics of what went well during this delivery and her newborn nursery stay, as well as shared areas that she might recommend for improvement. As far as specific strategies that we use to promote open and honest dialogue, this particular mom had shared that she was very nervous about talking in front of the group, and she was intimidated to share her story in a room full of healthcare providers. Because of this knowledge, we worked hard to make her feel as comfortable as possible. We seated her at a U-shaped table with the other attendees of the lunch, so that she did not feel like the entire focus was on her and she was not the center of all of the attention. We also made sure that our two social workers who know her best and who she is most comfortable with were seated on each side of her to help make her more comfortable. I led the questions for our panel and discussion at our panel. I chose to sit in the center of the half circle and made sure to use body language and nonverbal communication to help her feel as comfortable as possible. Since she was the only patient family partner present at our lunch, we also opened up the feedback and discussion to others in the room. For example, there were some peer recovery specialists in the room who had also given birth at this hospital who were able to share their experiences. One of our social workers works closely with moms with substance use disorder in both obstetrics and in pediatrics, and she was able to share some of the general feedback that she hears from other moms. The ability to hear from these other participants helped to provide a well-rounded discussion and make it feel more like a conversation and less like an interview with the one patient family partner mom who was present. We had some great discussion, and it really was a back and forth conversation with multiple people in the room and led to some really valuable conversation, feedback, and thoughts for introspection for everyone and potential areas for improvement, and just helped everyone to hear from the perspective of the patient and family.
That's really helpful to hear. Can you describe your team's planning process for the Respectful Care Panel? And is there anything in retrospect that you might have done differently?
First of all, I formed a team. My team had a variety of people on it. Myself, the assistant director up here, we had a representative from delivery doctors. I had a peds person. We also involved dietary because they were there for the breakfast. I had education there, and we also had PR. Our PR person was there, and then we also had a member of the social work team there. So we all started from the beginning. This is what we're going to do. This, you know, we set a goal to try to accomplish. We went, you know, through every detail and planned it together. And I had a great team. I think that's the first thing you have to start with when you're doing something different or new is pick the right people. So I was fortunate enough to be able to pick people that I knew would help and would get on board. The one thing that I wished we had done a little bit differently, and Diana mentioned earlier, I wished I had got more patients for the Respectful Care Panel since the number that we had showed up. It was difficult to get the three that I had, but maybe I should have worked a little harder and tried to get six. So that would be my one thing is get more than you think you need.
I completely agree. I also agree with Jane Anna that the team is so important, and recruiting that team that you're going to work with is from the very beginning is very important. For our planning process, we have several hospital members on our Best for All team. We have Strong Starts healthcare navigators, nurses, staff, pediatricians on our team. We met as a group, as our Best for All team, several times ahead of time to plan the date, the time, the location, and the logistics for our lunch. And then we listened to the feedback of all of our team members to ensure that the plans worked for everyone. We had close to 20 people total attend our Respectful Care Lunch. I think that's a good number so that it's not too large or too intimidating for the patient family partner or patient family partners who attend. Again, like Jane Anna said, I would wholeheartedly agree with inviting at least twice as many patient family partners as you would like to have in attendance, because there will always be last minute things that come up in conflicts where they're not able to attend. We had several of our general pediatricians from our newborn nursery attend, as well as several nurses from our mother baby unit, several of our Strong Starts community healthcare navigators, a couple of our Baby Steps social workers, a couple peer recovery specialists, and then a couple members of the TIPQC leadership team who were also present for our Respectful Care Lunch.
We know that all of our teams are committed to providing respectful care to all patients. How would you say this panel helps to bridge the gap between patients, families, and healthcare team members?
I think the patient family just gives the medical team another look. So just to sometimes that you just don't think of it. You think you're doing everything that you should be doing, but things slip through the cracks. And this panel is able to, you know, kind of point those out. I also will say that we've been able to use our panel with some other things that have come up. And I have just been able, because I know them, I have been able to send them a quick text or call them real quick and say, hey, what do you think about us doing this? We're going to change up things a little bit. How do you think it's going to hit the patients? And they've been really good about giving me feedback. So it's nice to have someone that is not currently giving the care or delivering the care to weigh in.
I love the idea of the Respectful Care Breakfast and Respectful Care Lunch. Even though we only had the one patient family partner attend, because of the great discussion that we had, it was a wonderful event. I feel very strongly that the best way to be patient-centered and to make patient-centered changes is to listen directly to the patients. There was something just so powerful about hearing the patient experience from the family firsthand and then being able to ask real-time questions in the room. It was a great experience for our entire team.
I know you both had some very powerful conversations during your panel. Could you share a specific story or moment from the panel that really left a lasting impression on you?
This was such a simple thing. Our panelists, it was there. This delivery was not going according to plan. And she was a nervous. She is a nurse, so she knew way too much. She had worked in labor and delivery in years past. And her doctor took the time, and she said that when he pulled up the stool and sat down and called her by name, which I thought was so funny, called her by name and began to go through the next step with her, that changed how she felt about what was going on. Just because he sat down and listened and didn't stand at the door like he was ready to go on to the next patient. And I have noticed that same doctor, when he can, and when something is not going to plan, he has made much more of an effort to sit down. And I just think it's so funny because he will give the same talk and almost exactly, but he sits down. And I just thought, what? How powerful is that? Just by sitting on a stool. So that was just something to me that was so simple that a doctor could do.
It is interesting how much things that we as providers consider to be small changes can really make such a huge impact in how the patient perceives their care and how they feel, whether or not they feel like they're being really listened to and heard. And often those things take no extra time. And so just being able to do those things is a huge thing. Our patient family partner is a mom in our Baby Steps program and has a history of substance use disorder. She is now in recovery and doing well. In addition to the baby that she most recently delivered, she also has two older children. This particular mom was able to share about her hospital experiences a few years ago and then contrast those with her more recent delivery.
It's been so helpful to hear about your experiences with your respectful care panels. Looking ahead, what are the next steps for your teams after hosting these panels?
Currently, right now, we're trying to increase our surveys. We have worked to get the QR code on our discharge instructions, and that is completed. So we're really, really trying to reinforce getting some surveys back so we know how we'll do. We're also, of course, keeping that team intact, and we are right now meeting quarterly. Just so our hope is that we're going to continue to try to have some type of breakfast, respectful care meeting every year. And we'll, of course, have rollover and, you know, pick new patients. I got funny, my assistant director the other day, she goes, I've got one we might want to include next year. I was like, okay, good. Keep her name. So that's our hope, is that we can keep it going, because I do think the best way to take care of patients and give good patient care is to listen to your patients.
For us, in terms of next steps, we are hosting a virtual discussion of the film Forest for the Trees coming up. And that is a film that was produced by East Tennessee State University, ETSU. And we're hosting it as part of the ETSU Child and Family Health Institute Collaborative Series. The film focuses on substance use and the stigma of substance use. So we're hosting that virtual discussion coming up. We also want to engage additional patient family partners in our project and have a future respectful care breakfast or lunch around patient experiences for our Spanish-speaking patients.
Well, thank you both for talking with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
It's been good to be a part of this project. Just like all of the other TIPS QC projects, it has given my hospital and my unit a whole new way of looking at things and helped to improve patient care and patient improvement.
I agree. We have really enjoyed participating in the TIPQC project and having all of the tools in the toolkit available for us. And what a tremendous thing for the state of Tennessee to have these projects happening all throughout the state so that we can really be a forerunner in providing amazing mother-baby care throughout the entire state of Tennessee.
Well said. Thank you both again so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.